KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Inner Richmond.
Lower Haight.
Burlingame.
Mission.
Potrero Hill.
Coming up, we'll take a look from here at turmoil happening in my home country of Sudan.
Demonstrators have been met with live fire and tear gas by police, causing a number of deaths and injuries. But the protests continue.
A Bay View of faraway unrest. Then a new show by young people who say they aren't quite adults just yet.
We feel like it's really needed to have something that we could all identify with and just help us figure out our adult-ish.
And we'll hear about a space in Oakland where queer people of color are getting radically fit.
This gym is so much more than just working out. When I started this, I made a choice that we were going to be choosing community over capitalism.
That's next on Cross Currents. So we're starting today's show with a Bay View, a new segment where we ask someone to go deep and think about an aspect of their Bay Area life that touches on a larger issue. Bay Views are personal and thoughtful, and today, I've got one.
Al-Bashir must go!
Al-Bashir must go!
2 weeks ago, the Bay Area Sudanese community demonstrated in front of San Francisco City Hall. More than 100 protesters held up flags and signs, and the signs said things like, "Stop killing protesters," and "El Bashir to ICC." What that's about is El Bashir, he's the president of Sudan, and he is wanted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes. Thousands of miles away, for a month now, Sudan has been witnessing regular street protests against the 30-year El Bashir dictatorship. Now, Sudan is where I'm from, and I was there recently visiting family when the protests began. They were sparked by shortages in bread, fuel shortages, cash shortages. But really, those are only catalysts. People are protesting decades of corruption, government violence, high inflation, the lack of opportunity, and the abysmal state of human rights, women's rights, and personal freedoms. Journalists, for example, are regularly jailed just for criticizing the government. Newspapers are arbitrarily shut down and editions confiscated. And so while we were there, the people took to the streets, and the government replied harshly.
Demonstrators have been met with live fire and tear gas by police.
Police and security forces were attacking peaceful protesters with tear gas and with live ammunition. They were actually shooting protesters down. After attacking a hospital and killing a doctor who was caring for the wounded protesters, Amnesty International came out and called on the government to, quote, stop their ongoing deadly onslaught on protesters. And I witnessed a time where police were chasing down protesters into my grandmother's neighborhood. And the tear gas was so strong, it seeped through the windows. And my daughters, my cousins, and I, we were standing there with, like, our eyes itchy and watering, and our throats felt like they were closing up. My male cousins were out in the street while we huddled behind a window watching as we saw police in riot gear and rifles. They were swarming the neighborhood and then kind of retreated to the main road. And I mean, while it was scary, there was a sense of excitement in the air. I looked and, you know, behind me and looked at my daughters and looked at my cousins, and there was a sense of a little, you know, it was a sense of fear, but also a sense of something is happening, something exciting is happening, because you have to remember, it's been 30 years with this single government with no movement at all of any kind. And people are fed up and they're ready for a change. Judging by the number of police and security trucks lining the streets, it's clear the regime has been shaken. And it hit home for me. In a protest like this one, one cousin was shot in the shoulder. Another cousin went missing with hundreds of others who were arrested by security forces. Now, thankfully, they're both now okay, but it was scary. And it's a reminder that as people in the diaspora who have family in other parts of the world, when the country is going through trauma, you feel it. The Sudanese community here in the Bay Area, at least everybody I know, is practically living on their cell phones, following the news day by day, hour by hour, watching videos and Facebook live feeds by people at protests, following the young millennials of the country as they organize stand-ins and worker strikes. And we're hoping they're not met with government violence, but it's been a bloody few weeks. Rights groups put the number of dead so far at 40 people. For folks here in the Bay Area, another demonstration is planned for this Saturday at San Francisco City Hall to bring awareness to what's going on in Sudan in the hopes that more global media coverage will encourage the U.S. to pressure Sudan's leader to step down and open the path to democracy. My family and friends will be there because being part of that community, to me, it's about identity, and it's about maintaining a rich cultural bond that's unbreakable. And that's a big reason why I live in the Bay Area, that sense of community and an awareness of things that are happening halfway around the world and the care to support people going through struggles. All those are values that I treasure and I want to pass on to my children. You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Henat Baba. Merk Nguyen and Nige Turner are 22-year-olds who are not so sure about adulthood just yet. Nige is in Oakland, Merk is in Brooklyn, and together they host the podcast Adult-ish as part of YR Media, formerly Youth Radio. They get real vulnerable in this culture and advice podcast, bringing on guests that can help break down what they need to know about being grown. Merk and Nige join me to talk about their show and trying to figure out adult-ish.
We call ourselves younger millennials. Davey, our senior producer, likes to call us Gen Zers, but I do not associate myself with Gen Zers or whatever.
Why?
I'm not one of those people.
I'm a younger millennial.
I'm not a Gen Zer. But yeah, and so we wanted something that was like really tailored towards us, and that's what we were looking for in the podcast game. I'm Black. Merk is Vietnamese.
Pride hashtag.
Hey, shout outs. And then we just wanted something different, and we feel like it's really needed to have something that we could all identify with and just help us figure out our adult-ish.
Merk, what do you think was missing from, like, the podcast space that you wanted to fill?
You know, I think just representation, honestly, from young people who are like us, because we hear all the time on classic NPR shows people who are, you know, double our age. And let's face it, let's be real, people our age, some of them don't listen to NPR. Like, Nige didn't even know who Ira Glass was for a while.
False.
And
this is false.
Yeah, right. But, you know, we've heard other podcasts, other radio shows interpreting our generation's experiences, but we're the people who are actually living these experiences. So who better to talk about these kinds of adult, young adult topics than people like us?
We know that the public radio audience, the podcast audience, the majority is white. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering how you come up with your topics.
I think a big part of coming up with what we talk about on our show is what we would want to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, the how we pick it, it's a pretty small team. It's me, Merk, and our senior producer, Davey, who are involved in picking the guests, involved in planning out the episodes. And we just pick who we want to hear on an interview, who we want to hear on an episode.
What sparks an idea, though?
Yeah. I think
like, what is it?
I mean, it's a lot of, like, young adult stuff, though, that we do, like, on the show. Like, I don't know how to really handle my taxes. I don't really know how credit works. And we have people on the show, like Sonari Glinton, who's former NPR reporter, and he comes on there. He's telling me, like, don't go buy that Jeep Wrangler that you're trying to do. Like, come on. He's like, let me put you up on game, young blood. And I think that's something that's so real about the show, is because I really was about to buy that Jeep Wrangler. Like, it was a move I was about to make. And he was like, don't do that. Like, let me let you know about generational wealth. And he's like breaking it down. I'm like, whoa, like, all right.
There's a clip. Let's listen to that clip and come back.
In the 6 years that I was at NPR, I've only given a review of two cars. Right. Can you guess which ones they are?
I'm assuming one is the...
One of them is a Jeep Wrangler, and it is the worst car. It is the worst car ever.
Why?
I mean, it makes me mad.
So much passion.
This is what it is. Can you imagine the amount of Drake captions I can put on my pictures when I post that on Twitter? Like, I'm standing on the hood of my Jeep Wrangler.
This is what it is. Oh, you think it's an SUV? There ain't no storage in it. Oh, you think...
He put me up on game. No, he saved my life.
And then, you know, and then that was a really cool episode. And it was kind of, you know, it's fun. You guys are fun. It's light. But you really get into some deep issues as well. And here's a clip with Demetrius Harmon that tackles mental health.
Is it safe to say that you're out there, you know, Lil Duval, living your best life?
I'm living my best life.
Or, you know, does real life sometimes get in the way?
It's a mixture of both, because, like, I struggle with the things that I struggle with as far as, like, being depressed and, like, you know, anxious and stuff like that. And so, I don't know, I really enjoy every moment. I think that's why I look so happy within those moments, because, yeah, I guess, like, when things are happening, is I really just take everything in as it is.
So, again, how... You know, there's so many things you could be covering, right? Mm-hmm. How do you strike a balance between being, you know, fun and conversational and then really diving into issues like this?
You know, when you have a friend, you know, you don't want to be so like, I'm going to tell you all my sad stuff all the time right now. But you also don't want to be like, oh, I'm so happy all the time, because that's not really true to the human experience. Mm. I feel like with this show, you know, Nige and I, we're just real genuine people. And we know that our guests are real genuine people as well. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, finding those conversations that we don't necessarily hear in interviews all the time, you know, instead of, what project are you working on? Because we ask about that too, but being like, hey, how are you doing today? And I think, you know, people who are on the media, they're not, sometimes people forget that they're actual people too. So just remembering that human aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely a conversation that me and Merk had as well, though. Like, we were on the phone and we're talking, I'm talking to her about, like, my struggles with mental health, my struggles with anxiety and depression. And she's like, that's something you should work into the show, because we're trying to be 100% authentic with our audience and transparent with them. And I was like, who could I talk about? And somebody who helped me get through a lot of, like, my darkest days was Demetrius Harmon, because he has a lot of videos on his social media. He's, like, super big on Twitter, millions of followers, and he posts, like, his struggle. He'd be like, yo, I'm not having a good day today, and this is what I'm gonna do to get out of it. And, like, I'd be having, like, those days, like, those really dark days, and I was like, whoa, like, I'm not alone.
What do you think is not talked about enough in your generation that you want to talk about?
I would say, honestly, even though mental health gets brought up a lot, just really addressing that straight on. You know, another topic is probably loneliness. The posts that we put up there, people our age really, really like that stuff. I mean, they're really into it. So we really want to double down on that in season two. But I think in this digital day and age, we're up there, you know, flexing, posting pictures of ourselves on social media, and we look happy. But I don't know if that's actually the reality of the situation, because I know for Nige and I, that's definitely not always the case. And that's why bringing our heart into the show, being real about what it's like to be a young adult in 2019 is really what the show is about. We want to let people know they're not alone in this adult-ish journey.
I remember we had Marley Grace on there, who's an author, and she was just talking about, maybe you should just put your phone down, go outside, do something, and don't tell anybody about it. And that just hit me in, like, a whole different way.
Is that hard?
It's like, whoa. I mean, I think it's definitely really hard for our generation. Like, whenever anybody does anything remotely interesting, it's like, oh, I got to let people know that I'm, like, super cultured and super eclectic. And it's like, no, just do some stuff for yourself.
You know, this loneliness, a lot of people from our generation don't, I wouldn't guess that you guys are lonely, because you're online all the time posting all kinds of stuff. I'm like, yes, they have the life, you know? It's just like, So that's interesting to hear about.
Well, I mean, it was like a stat one time that it's like majority of people feel like a certain percentage worse after they get off of social media. Mm. Like nobody really leaves social media feeling better at all. Like everybody gets on there, posts their little version of themselves that they want to project to the world, and then is secretly lonely just behind that.
How do you think this show has changed you? Just producing it, thinking about the topics, meeting these people?
Any production of any type of art, I think, is people don't see how emotional of a process it is. Like behind the show, yes, like you guys are seeing like the end product, but there's like so many days that we're like, it's tears, it's a bunch of like just breakdowns. We're like really pulling from ourselves, especially if you're giving, if you're giving anything of yourself, it's gonna take a lot out of you, and it's really emotionally taxing.
And speaking of emotional, let's play a clip of your interview with Ashley Hayes.
I say yes, highlight. I say I see you. You'll be visible, and you'll be worthy of all this praise.
That was crazy. You got me in here about to start crying.
No, don't do that.
Oh my God, I never want to say one of my poems ever again.
Gotta keep writing and you gotta keep going.
Hey, every time you were like, come through, I was like, come through, Ashley, you killing it.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I just want to say real quick, thank you for that, because you just spoke to my soul right there,
honey.
Especially toward the end, like, you know, this is something that, you know, you said you wake up every day and you're like, you know, doing your little things of like self-love and all this stuff and like putting your words out there for me. Like I'm doing the same thing in my own way, and I just appreciate you for like really being able to capture that, because it's hard, you know?
That was a little bit of an emotional, you know, thing right there. Just the feels.
Yeah.
The feels.
All the feels. Being not only a person of color, but a woman of color. You know, we are people who haven't been given the mic all the time. And that's why I got so emotional, because, you know, this job, this platform has really allowed me to feel empowered, not only because I have a voice, but also just hearing other people being able to share and talk about, you know, what they've experienced. So when I heard Ashley, I'm like, look at us. We are these two women of color, and having nights, they're two, just three people of color being able to talk about our life experiences where there's not a white person, older white person who's telling it for us. It was just so awesome because it was just real and raw.
Before you go, I got to get a sneak peek of what's coming up. Come on, just a little, just tease.
She wants it.
You want to tell her a little something, Mert?
Just a little bit.
Okay, so we definitely want to be hearing more from our listeners, you know, getting some vox pops, going out onto the streets and really having a presence, because we're making the show for young people, so we want to make sure that they hear themselves, and experimenting with audio for sure, different kinds of narratives, doing some reported pieces, and just mixing it up a little bit with music too.
Okay. Yeah, definitely mixing it up a lot. We want to do like some original, like some solo segments and stuff like that. Not always just me and Merc, but some solo ones. We got an interview with Black Panther actor Bamba John Bamba. And he talks about being undocumented. That was like such a powerful interview. That was just me and him talking on that one, and that was it was amazing. And then also, I know we just have like a bunch of other segments that we're like working on. I had a segment on my Snapchat called Broke Boy Chronicles, where I would just like give like tips and stuff like that, even for travel. I had a thing called Broke Boy Travel, Broke Boy This or whatever, and it's just like how to just finesse when you ain't got no money, you balling on a budget. And so just a bunch of like really creative segments and stuff like that coming for season two, where you get to like really know me and Merc.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We will be listening.
Yes.
And congratulations.
Everybody. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Merc Nguyen and Nige Turner are the hosts of the podcast Adult-ish from YR Media. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hena Baba. The San Francisco metro area has the highest concentration of self-identified LGBT adults in the country. But that doesn't mean the needs of the entire community are being met. Oakland, for example, didn't get its first LGBT community center till 2017. And it wasn't until 6 months ago that Lindsay Page opened Radically Fit in Oakland's Fruitvale neighborhood. She saw a need for an inclusive, body-positive gym for queer and trans people of color, especially the big-bodied. So she built it. Reporter Amy Mustafa visited the gym recently and caught up with the founder.
First, Lindsay, she, her, question of the day. Today's question of the day is, what is one thing you are proud of yourself for doing this week?
I am proud of myself for going to bed at 9 p.m.
It's 8:30 on a Friday morning at Fruitvale's Radically Fit Gym. Founder Lindsay Page leads a group of members in a power circuit class. Students get their heart rates up by working with free weights and medicine balls and doing different crunches, while Lindsay's dog Logan cruises around. Before each new exercise, Lindsay demonstrates the moves in front of a wall of tall windows with a rainbow flag and a transgender pride flag on either side.
Radically Fit is the new QTPOC body positive gym in Oakland for queer, trans, people of color, and big-bodied and fat-identified folks.
Before starting Radically Fit, Lindsay was a personal trainer in Oakland. She noticed few members of the QTPOC communities were showing up to work out, and she wanted to make sure more people had access to the benefits of consistent exercise.
As somebody that's been in this industry for the years that I've been in it, somebody that has struggled with body image their entire life, as somebody who has changed their entire life multiple times to fit a certain body type, I knew that no matter when I opened this gym, that this gym would be based on the fact that every body is valuable as it is today.
Lindsay wanted to make sure the gym feels inclusive and accessible. That's why she and her board of advisors chose to open the gym in Fruitvale. The neighborhood is already home to a lot of people of color. Plus, there's plenty of public transit nearby. They also decided to offer classes that focus on strength and mobility instead of weight loss or bulking, and to not have mirrors in the workout areas. I also noticed that the branded merchandise features illustrations of people of different abilities, body types, and skin tones.
Mom, you are staying hydrated. I can tell by the amount of sweat that is pouring off your body. It's amazing.
Gym member Gabrielle Hooks is wearing a black Radically Fit tank top, leggings, and light gray tennis shoes. She comes to the gym because she likes being in a space where she doesn't feel her fitness is being sized up.
There's always an alternate given if, you know, you're not feeling like you can safely do what was first described. And like, I love how we go around and say each other's pronouns, and like even the classes here, there's a person of color class only that's starting in a couple weeks, which is amazing. And then there's like a transgender nonconforming class, which is amazing. And it's just nice to see yourself reflected in the community that I'm working out in.
Owner Lindsay Page is planning to work with nearby community organizations like Street Level Health to attract more neighbors to the gym. She uses a sliding scale membership model to work with people's budget.
I know so many people that want to work out, that would benefit from working out, that just literally can't afford it. And we're going to provide this service to people at no cost if that's what they need.
Yvonne Hernandez has been a member of Radically Fit since it opened. For Yvonne, the gym is an opportunity to gather and connect with other queer people.
Because I think, like, historically as a community, like, our space has been, like, bars and parties, which is, you know, I still indulge in. But something, like, centered around health and being able to, like, pump people up in classes. Because, like, before this, I was, like, working out on my own, and it was, like, cool, it was fun, it was, like, also great for my mental health, but it's boring, it's lonely.
Lindsay believes there's a lot of folks like Gabrielle and Yvonne who would be interested in Radically Fit, but they need to know it exists. That's why Lindsay is at Lake Merritt for the People's Oakland Pride 5K run on a recent Saturday. She's standing in front of a crowd that's dressed in a collection of rainbow socks, headbands, capes, and costumes. She's hoping she can convince some of these folks to check out Radically Fit. To the tune of church bells from across the street, she's leading runners in a pre-race stretch.
You're doing great already. You've already won the day. You showed up.
This gym is so much more than even just working out. When I started this, I made a distinct choice that we were going to be choosing community over capitalism. Who knows what that means in terms of the longevity?
Radically Fit just marked its 6-month anniversary. Lindsay says things are going well. Membership is growing and new classes have been added. In Oakland, I'm Amy Mustafa for Cross Currents.
Amy is a student at the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. A version of this piece originally appeared on oaklandnorth.net. And to keep up with all our stories once a week, every week, subscribe to the Cross Currents newsletter. Do it at klw.org and click Cross Currents. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Sarah Nora Coast, Maggie McKay, Kevin McLean, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, True Gwynn, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.